Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here today. And also remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can certainly find more out about us there. And also link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And all that's at livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs there, and you can listen to our Sunday night program. If you've not listened to our Sunday night program, we're now on from 10 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night right here on this station. We used to be on from 11 o'clock till midnight. We were able to add an extra hour here recently, and I think it was at the it's been 3 weeks now, so this Sunday will be the fourth Sunday of our new 10 to midnight format. And so we're really thankful for that. So I know for a lot of people, staying up 11 midnight is a little long, but 10 to 11, at least you can join us at that time frame. But anyway, I wanted to talk about a couple of things, and looking out the window here, trying to see if the sun wants to peek out. It's starting to peek out again. It was nice and sunny when we came into the studio here today, and temperatures come up a little bit, and kind of nice. It was cold yesterday, but it was warming up a little bit today, and really comfortable, nice day, and then got a little cloudy, and then the sun started to peek out again. So just kind of if we call this a late fall or early winter, I think it's still late fall. Technically, winter has not yet arrived until the 21st, I believe, of December. So anyway, a nice late fall afternoon here today. Hope you can get out and enjoy it a little bit. Well, I wanted to talk about a couple of things here today, but again, welcome to the program, and let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you, and use the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, wanted to mention something that just happened here. If you've been following in the news, we had in the House... Oh, I should say in the Senate, it was House Bill, or House Resolution, I should say, 8404, which was in the Senate, and they were voting on it, I believe, this past Tuesday, and unfortunately, it passed. Now, if you're not familiar with H.R. 8404, this is what they call the... Defense of Marriage Act, and the Respect for Marriage Act, and really, it's the Disrespect for Marriage Act is what it ought to be called. And I wanted to mention a few things with this. And there's a reason that marriage is under attack in our country, and indeed has been around the world. There's a variety of reasons, but we're going to look at a few today. And one of the reasons is that this is an attack on what God established in the very beginning. When we go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible tells us where God created not only Adam, but also created Eve. And when we realized Adam, of course, was formed out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Bible says he became a living soul. But it was just Adam at this time. Eve had not yet been created. All the other animals and things had been created, and Adam saw there was male and female, but there was no helpmeet for him. And so it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, this is the first couple, and Adam and Eve. This is the first marriage, and the marriage was essentially set up by God, and we see that God, through this unique act of creative work, it took a rib from Adam and formed Eve, formed a woman. And a lot of people miss some of the miracles that took place with this, just not only the fact that he formed Eve from the rib of Adam, but obviously he had to do some changing with the DNA. And this is important because we know that in the very DNA that we have, it determines whether we're male or female. We have 23 pairs of chromosomes, and one of those pairs will either be an XX pair or an XY pair, and that's the two different genes that we have there. And if you have an XX pair, you are female. If you have an XY pair, you are male, and that's the biology of it. This is basic biology. And it's also reflected in the scriptures, because in Psalm 139, where David is talking about as an unborn child, he says in verse number 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." And that book, I believe, was the DNA that we have inside of each of our cells. It's the DNA that provides the written instructions for how we will develop and ultimately what we will look like and whether we will be male or female. And it's not your attitude, it's not your preference, it's not your mindset that determines whether you're male or female. It's your DNA. It's in a book that God wrote. And yes, it is a book of instruction, just as much as the Bible laying in front of me is a book of instruction. The DNA is written in a definable language. It is written in, it follows grammar. It has syntax. It has context. It has every characteristic that a language possesses. It is a way of coding information with just a handful of letters, just like the Bible in front of me is a way of coding information with a handful of letters. And it meets every criteria to be an intelligently designed language. You know, we spend millions of dollars searching for signals from outer space with the SETI program, hoping to find a signal that shows evidence of intelligent design so that we would know that there's some intelligence out there in the universe. And the way they would recognize it is the signal would be able to convey information in a coded fashion. But we have here before us in our DNA the greatest coded signal that we've ever seen. It's beyond anything our ability to come up with can master, and it codes for all the information of what you're going to be. And it's in this book that's written, and yet the world tries to say, "Oh, it was just by chance." When they find bits of ancient ruins and they find inscriptions on things, they look at it and it makes sense. They say, "Oh, this is the writing of an ancient civilization." But when they look at the DNA and they look at the clear writing and the information that's conveyed, they say, "Oh, it's just chance and circumstance and happenstance that made it this way." Well, the DNA determines whether you're male or female. Because when God created Eve, he had to change the DNA that was in the bone that Adam supplied. When he took the bone from Adam's rib, that bone had Adam's DNA. And so in the chromosome pair that would make him male or female, he had the XY chromosome complement. God had to remove the Y and insert another X there. And there's other things that he had to do with the DNA so that Adam and Eve would be able to produce all the children that they produced in, and they would have produced children in every conceivable skin tone, hair tone, eye color, all would have descended from Adam and Eve. So a miracle in and of itself, the genetic manipulation that God had to do, which incidentally, we celebrate the birth of Christ this month. And when you think about it, when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, God began with the DNA in the egg that Mary supplied, and that DNA did not have the XY chromosome complement. It only had the XX because the Y only comes from your father. Women do not carry the Y chromosome complement. And so God had to miraculously put that together so that Jesus would be conceived as a male in the womb of Mary and be born as a male and grow up as a man. Well, when we look at this then, we see that God created male and female for a reason. Part of the reason was because God told them to go and be fruitful, multiply, and they were supposed to fill the world with their offspring. And that's part of what their role was, but there's also something else that we see pictured in the relationship between a husband and a wife. And this is over in Ephesians chapter 3, and it's something that gets lost with a lot of people. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 5, and it gets lost a lot of times when people are reading this. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the relationship between men and women in the marriage relationship. And for time's sake, I'm just going to come down here a little further here. And it says in verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now notice what he says here, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And this is interesting. You see the connection between the picture of a husband and his wife being a picture of Christ and the church. And we see this carried through this discussion here. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Remember back in Genesis, they came together, they became one flesh. And then he says this in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And when you see this and understand what Paul is writing about here, we see that the relationship between a husband and a wife is to be a picture between the relationship between Christ and the church, meaning the believers. And in fact, the believers are referred to as the bride, the Lamb's wife in Revelation 21, verse 9. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, and one of the angels speaks to John and says, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so this is a picture that we see in Scripture. In fact, later on in Revelation chapter 21. Again, here's one of the seven angels that had the seven vials, the seven last plagues, again talking. I just read that. I'm sorry. That was chapter 21, verse 9 that I read there. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I clicked on the wrong verse there. Let me go back now to Revelation chapter 19. That's the one that I was going to first. And as we read there, it says this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 5, starting there, and a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And this, the bride of Christ, is collectively the body of believers that are in heaven at this time. And this is taking place in heaven during the time of the tribulation on the earth. This is one of the reasons why we do not believe that the believers that are alive right now will be left on earth during the tribulation. We'll be caught up. That's the blessed hope that Paul wrote to Titus about. And we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in First Thessalonians chapter 4. And we will be with the Lord in the air, and after we're awarded on the basis of our service, crowns and rewards in heaven, we will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you'll be a part of this. Collectively, we make up the bride of Christ. Say, well, that sounds a little odd. Well, in the Old Testament, collectively, the nation of Israel represented the wife of Jehovah God. And so he was the nation was pictured as his wife. And so this idea that the relationship between a husband and wife pictures a relationship between God, between Christ and his church, when we see attacks on marriage, such as we see with House Resolution 8404, the Respect, or rather Disrespect for Marriage Act, we're seeing a direct attack on this, because what this bill basically was put forward to do is to codify into federal law the same-sex marriages that were allowed by the Obergefell decision back in 2015. And when that ruling was passed, it said that you could not prevent same-sex marriages. Well, now this bill, this H.R. 8404, is gone back to the House after the Senate voted, and unfortunately 12 Republicans, including a couple that we would have thought would have voted against it, including Senators Blunt and I think it's Ernst, they voted for it. We have these people voting for it when this is a direct attack on, as I said, marriage. It will allow, in federal law, it will allow for same-sex marriage. And this means that if it's passed again, everything goes through the House now, and the final say-so to approve a little tweaking of the language in the Senate, and then on to Biden for signature. This will mean that the federal government will accept any state's definition of marriage with the exception of polygamy. Now, let me caution with that. With the exception of polygamy, is probably only temporary, because many of the things that were in the Obergefell decision and also in this House resolution, the idea that if you can't restrict who somebody can marry, then How can you restrict how many people somebody can marry? And I'm sure the Mormons out in Utah are anxiously awaiting their day in court to push that side of the issue. This means that the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defined marriage in the United States as a union of a one man and one woman, which is the biblical definition of marriage, that will effectively be overturned. Basically was struck down by the Obergefell decision. Another decision, 2013, United States versus Windsor. And so as a end result, this is going to make it harder for the courts to be able to define marriage and perhaps overturn the Obergefell decision, some of these other things. And it's also going to affect, more importantly, people of faith and faith-based organizations. Now, there is supposedly an amendment that was added to protect churches, and it really is very weak. There were three amendments that were proposed that would have had some teeth. The best one probably would have been the Lee Amendment. That was voted down. The Lankford Amendment also would have addressed these issues and provided defense for churches and religious organizations. And the Rubio Amendment also would have been helpful. But these things were voted down. And the only thing that we have is a little amendment that supposedly protects religious freedom by giving an insurance that nonprofit organizations won't have to actually perform or provide services for same-sex weddings. But it's a little weak in the sense that they didn't specifically provide the defenses that were in the Lankford and Lee amendments. I don't have time to go through those amendments right now, but think about this for a minute. They're going to have the ability to sue organizations for disrespecting or belittling or somehow disparaging their relationship. And even though in some cases the organization may be successful defending their refusal to condone or participate or sanction a same-sex marriage on the basis of genuinely held religious beliefs, it's the problem is they'll have to go to court probably to do it. Preventions could have been put in place so that they wouldn't have to go to court. I remember back when we had the Ohio Pastors Protection Act that was under consideration, and there were several versions of it that were put through, and it was as a result of the Obergefell decision, because the real fear and concern was that somebody might want a church to condone or conduct or perhaps allow their facilities to be used to celebrate a same-sex marriage. And a lot of people said, well, but you would not be able to defend that in court. If you had religious, sincerely held religious views, and you went to court over that, you could defend yourself. But the problem is, defending yourself in court rather than being defended by statute, you have to go through not only the court of law, but the court of public opinion. And it's also expensive. And the idea of the Pastors Protection Act in Ohio was simply to say that churches and faith-based organizations, it wasn't just pastors and ministers, would not have to conduct same-sex marriages, and that they would not be sued for failure to conduct them or allow their facilities. Well, we see this attack on marriage. It's fundamentally an attack on your religious beliefs, and it's fundamentally an attack on the First Amendment, because when the government can tell you what you can or can't believe, they can tell you what you can or can't say, can or can't print, can or can't assemble, and all these things. That's why we have First Amendment. Well, pray for our country, but don't give up. Christ is still on the throne. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.